السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. How are you all doing? نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، اما بعد، فاعوذ بالله من الشیطان الرجیم، بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. رب اشرح لي صدری ویسر لي امری واحلل عقدۃ من لسانی یفقهوا قولی ربنا زدنا علما. Chapter number 11. السنۃ والائمۃ. The sunnah and the imams. Al-a'imma is a plural of imam. Who is an imam? A leader. Someone who leads others. For example, in the salah, the imam is the one who leads others in the prayer. An imam is basically someone who has to be followed. We learned that إِنَّمَا جُعِلَ الْإِمَامِ لِيُؤْتَمَّ بِهِ. That the imam is appointed so that he is followed. And if an imam is not followed, then is he an imam? No. Then why would you have him, right? The purpose of having an imam is so that you can follow him. So that the imam unites the people. Because people could be praying on their own, but one person is doing qiyam at one time, another is doing ruku', another is doing sujood at the same time. But when all the people follow the imam, then what happens? They become united. So this is who an imam is. Over here, al-a'immah refers to which imam? It refers to the scholars, the Muslim scholars of the past, and in particular, those scholars who were followed by others. Those imam who you can say had a madhab. Madhab is a particular way of understanding their religion. So they had their madhab and the people, they followed them. Now tell me, is it necessary to follow the imam? We just learned that imam, you follow, why? So that, you know, when you pray together, you are all united. So there are benefits in following an imam. There are other benefits as well, such as the imam, like the leader, he clarifies the matters for you so you understand them easily. Some complicated issues, everyone cannot become a scholar. But the imam, he clarifies the matters. But we need to know that when it comes to the sunnah, then who will be given preference? Will the imam be given preference or will the sunnah be given preference? The sunnah will be given preference. When you have the opinion of a scholar, the understanding of a scholar, and at the same time you also learn about the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, then who are we to follow? The sunnah. Why? Because the a'immah as well, who did they follow? The Prophet ﷺ, right? So their imam, the imam of all of the scholars, all of the companions was who? The Prophet ﷺ. So this is the reason why we also should consider who to be our imam? Muhammad ﷺ. Which means that we will understand the religion the way he explained it. We will follow the religion the way he taught it. Other scholars, yes, we respect them. We do study them. We do study their opinions. We do study what they taught. But will they be given final authority in the matters of religion? No. The final authority, the final say is with who? Allah and His Messenger. So, in this chapter we will learn about the status of the Imams compared to the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Precept number 61. All the Imams have declared that their sayings and opinions should be abandoned. And the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam should be followed, meaning should be given preference. So all of the scholars, what did they say? That their sayings and their opinions should not be given importance when the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam says something different. So if they said it, then should we say the same thing? Yes. If they believe that the sunnah should be given preference over them, should we believe in the same thing? Yes, because if we don't believe in that, then we're not really following them. People say that they're following the imams, but then they're not actually following them. Why? Because all of the imams said that you have to follow the sunnah first. The sunnah will be given importance first. Why is it that they said this? Because the more knowledge a person has, the more love a person develops for Allah and His Messenger, for the deen, for the religion of Islam, and the more respect he has. So with more love, with more respect, with more knowledge, definitely their obedience was greater than ours, right? So this is the reason why they emphasized that the sunnah should be always given preference. For example, سُئِلَ عَنْ أَبِي حَنِيفَةَ رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى إِذَا قُلْتَ قَوْلًا وَكِتَابُ اللَّهِ يُخَالِفُهُ قَالَ أُتْرُكُ بِكِتَابِ اللَّهِ فَقِيلَ إِذَا كَانَ خَبْرُ الرَّسُولِ يُخَالِفُهُ قَالَ أُتْرُكُ قَوْلِي بِخَبْرِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ فَقِيلَ إِذَا كَانَ قَوْلُ الصَّحَابَةِ يُخَالِفُهُ قَالَ أُتْرُكُ قَوْلِي بِقَوْلِ الصَّحَابَةِ ذَكَرَهُ فِي عَقْدِ الْجَيْدِ. Imam Abu Hanifa was asked, if your saying is contrary to the Quran, then what is to be done? Meaning we find out that one of your statements, what you said, contradicts what is in the Quran, then what should be done? Imam Abu Hanifa replied, abandon my saying, relinquish it, leave it, when it is against the Quran. Then he was asked, if your saying is against the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then what is to be done? He replied, when my statement is against the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then abandon it, meaning abandon my saying, and instead hold on to the sunnah. He was asked, if your statement is against the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, relinquish my statement when it is against the statements of the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So what do we see here? That the Imams, all of them, they gave preference to the Quran, the Sunnah, the Salaf. And that should be our aqidah as well. That should be our belief as well. That when it comes to understanding, when it comes to applying the teachings of the religion, then we have to look at the Quran, the Sunnah, and the companions. And then the rest of the scholars. Why the Quran, Sunnah, and companions first? Because what's the source of that? The revelation, the wahi. Allah revealed the Quran, He sent the messenger. If the messenger erred, then Allah corrected him. The companions were the people of that time whom the Prophet ﷺ taught. Yuzakihim, he did their tazkiyah. Yu'allimuhum, he taught them the book, right? He taught them by the idhn of Allah what they did not know. So this is why our standard should be who? Allah, His messenger, and the companions. And then after them, other scholars. قال مالك بن أنس رحمه الله إنما أنا بشر أخطئ وأصيب فانظروا في رأيي فكل ما وافق الكتاب والسنة فخذوه وكل ما لم يوافق فاتركوه ذكره ابن عبد البر في الجامع. Now over here what you see in the brackets, في الجامع, جامع is the name of the book. In the previous statement, في عقد الجيد, that is also a book. So Imam Malik bin Anas, he said that without doubt, I am a human being. I am only a human being. My saying can be wrong or correct. It could be right and it could also be wrong. Therefore, ponder over my statement, analyze it, study it. Whatever is in conformity with the book and the sunnah, then act upon it. And whatever is contrary to it, then leave it. So even the scholars, what did they say? That don't take our statement as the final statement. Don't consider it to be the final authority. No. Always cross-check with the book of Allah and the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If it is in conformity, then take it. But if it contradicts it, then don't give any importance to it. عن الشافعي رحمه الله إنه كان يقول إذا وجدتم في كتابي خلاف سنة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فقولوا بسنتي ودعوا ما قلت وفي رواية فاتبعوها ولا تلتفتوا إلى قول أحد ذكره ابن عساكر والنووي وابن القيم. Imam al-Shafi'i stated that whenever you see anything in my book which is against the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then leave my saying and act according to the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. In other narrations, it is mentioned that follow the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah and do not care for the statement of any other person. No individual, whether it is me or anyone else, no. Don't give importance to the statement of any other when it contradicts the statement of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now the question is, why would the statements of the scholars contradict the Quran and Sunnah in the first place? Because no human being has all knowledge. وَفَوْقَ كُلِّ ذِي عِلْمٍ عَلِيمٍ. Above every knowledgeable one is one who is more knowledgeable, is the one who is all-knowing. So no human being has complete and absolute knowledge. And this is the reason why human beings are prone to making mistakes. So if a scholar, if an imam ever said something, then it doesn't mean that it's 100% accurate. No. It doesn't mean that it's an established fact. No. It's quite possible that they made a mistake. And human errors, right? They're always there in everything that people do. People do so many things. You know, they have so much research and so many experts working on something, but yet they end up making mistakes. Because human beings are weak. وَخُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ ضَعِيفًا. We are weak. So when we are weak, that means we forget. That means we could misunderstand. That means we could make a major mistake sometimes even. Right? So this is why what we say, what we do as human beings, it should not be given final authority. It should always be looked at in the light of the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger. قَالَ الْإِمَامُ أَحْمَدُ رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى لَا تُقَلِّدُونِي وَلَا تُقَلِّدُوا مَالِكًا وَلَا الشَّافِعِيَّ وَلَا الْأَوْزَاعِيَّ وَلَا الثَّوْرِيَّ وَخُذْ مِنْ حَيْثُ أَخَذُ. A very important statement. ذَكَرَهُ الْفَلَّانِي. What's the statement? Imam Ahmad rahimahullah, he said, do not follow me. Do not follow me. Nor Imam Malik, nor Imam al-Shafi'i, nor Imam Awza'i, nor Imam al-Thawri. Do not follow any one individual blindly. But rather deduce the religious commands from those sources where they have been deduced from. Or rather, where they deduced from. Meaning the scholars deduced from. You follow the same what these scholars followed. And what did they follow? The Quran and Sunnah. So you should also follow the Quran and Sunnah. Now, over here we see the statements of four scholars. Who? Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Malik, Imam al-Shafi'i and Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal. Who are these scholars? They are known as the four Imams, right? Who had their madhahib. So you have the Hanafi madhab, you have the Maliki madhab, you have the Shafi'i madhab, you have the Hanbali madhab, correct? But we see that all of these scholars, what did they say? That don't consider my opinion to be the final opinion. No, always look at the Quran and Sunnah. And the statement of Imam Ahmad, we should reflect on it. Look at the word that he used. He said, لَا تُقَلِّدُونِي, which means, do not do my taqleed. Do not do my taqleed. What is this word taqleed? Has anyone heard of it? Taqleed is from the root letters qaf, lam, dal. Qala'id, which is from the same root, is used for, or qalada rather, is used for a garland. Okay, a garland, something like a strap made of wool or some other material that was put around sacrificial animals. Where was it put? On the necks of who? Sacrificial animals when they were taken to the haram in order to be slaughtered at the time of Hajj. Now, the qalada is what? It's like a rope that is put around the neck of an animal. Why? So that the animal is pulled from it, right? Or that he is marked by it, that this animal is a sacrificial animal. So from this comes the word taqleed, which is blind following. That just like an animal blindly follows the master, wherever the master takes the animal goes. The master takes the animal, right, by the rope, takes him to the field so that he can pasture, the animal goes. The master takes the animal, drags him all the way to the slaughterhouse, and the animal goes. He doesn't know whether he's going to be fed, he's going to be locked up, he's going to be let loose, he's going to be slaughtered. What's going to happen to him? He doesn't know. He is blindly following, without using his reason, without using logic, his mind, nothing. So taqleed, it is different from ittibar. Ittibar is reasoned following. What is ittibar? Reasoned following. That you are deliberately, consciously making that choice to follow someone. And as you are following, you are using your mind, you're thinking. This is just like if you're following someone to a particular destination. Your friend is driving the car and you are driving another car, so you're following your friend. So will you use your reason? As soon as it gives the indicator to the right, you will move to the right lane. As soon as it speed up, you will speed up. When they slow down, you will slow down. So it's reasoned following. And you don't just blindly follow. If you know you're supposed to go to Niagara Falls, and you're following them, and they end up not going to Niagara Falls, but they take another road, you will stop and you will call them. Right? You will say, what are you doing? You sure we're going on the right way? You sure you didn't forget? It's reasoned thinking. But taqleed, on the other hand, is blind following. What is taqleed? Blind following. So all of the scholars, they said, do not do our taqleed. Do not do our taqleed. Now imagine if the word taqleed was not used for the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that we're not to do his taqleed, we're to do ittibar. Does it befit that this word is used for any other person other than him? That we do their taqleed? No. We're not to do taqleed of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then how can we do taqleed of any other individual? You understand? So the a'immah, they said, do not do our taqleed at all. Instead, follow the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, follow the Quran. عن أبي حنيفة رحمه الله تعالى أنه كان يقول إياكم والقول في دين الله تعالى بالرأي وعليكم باتباع السنة فمن خرج عنها ضل ذكره في الميزان. Imam Abu Hanifa, he said that, O people, save yourselves from speaking from your own opinion in matters of religion, and make it obligatory to follow the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Be careful. Don't come up with your own opinions. Don't hold on to the sayings of other people. Rather, make it mandatory on you that you follow the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because whoever moves away from the sunnah, then he has gone astray. Underline this. Whoever moves away from the sunnah, then he has gone astray. Why? Because the sunnah, what is that based on? The wahi. And anything other than that, what is that based on? The intellect of people, their own opinion, or their desires, their mistakes. And the intellect of people, it's not necessary that just because somebody thinks a particular way, then they are 100% right. No. People can make mistakes. And everyone, every individual, looks at different things based on their past experience, based on their bias. So this is why the opinions of people, the understanding of people, is not necessarily true. You know, it is said that once a hungry person was asked about the moon, that what is this? And he said bread. Because he was hungry. So that moon looked like bread to him. A lover was asked about what is this? And he said the face of my beloved. And if you ask a scientist, then what will he say? It's the moon. So people look at things based on what? Their biases, their past experience. So this is why the intellect of people is not the final thing. Precept number 62, Imam Abu Hanifa considered acting on the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as guidance, and acting against the sunnah as going astray and fasad. عن أبي حنيفة رحمه الله تعالى إنه كان يقول لم يزل الناس في صلاح ما دام فيهم من يطلب الحديث فإذا طلبوا العلم بلا حديث فسدوا ذكره الشعراني في الميزان. Imam Abu Hanifa stated that people will remain on guidance as long as there are among them students of hadith. Meaning as long as people are learning the hadith, they are studying the hadith, they're understanding the hadith, then they will remain on guidance. This is what Imam Abu Hanifa said. And when knowledge of the religion will be acquired without resort to hadith, meaning when people will study the religion without looking at the hadith, then discord and mischief will occur among them. Meaning then people will go astray. Then they will fall into differences, then there will be fasad, then there will be confusion and chaos. People will not know what is right, what is wrong, and the endless battles and arguments will begin. And isn't that true? As long as people hold on to the sunnah, they are rightly guided. But when they move away from it, clinging on to other individuals, then they are astray. Then there is discord among the people. Again, if you go to what people have to say, then people will say it is okay. But if you look at the hadith, if you look at the Quran, if you look at the statements of the scholars, in the Quran, for example, Lahu al-Hadith is mentioned. How did the companions interpret that? Ibn Abbas said, Wallahi wal-ghina. By Allah, this is singing and music. So if you look at the Quran, the Sunnah, the way of the companions, then it's very clear. But when you look at what Rumi did and what so-and-so said, then there will be confusion. Then people will say, oh, today percussion instruments are okay, so if duff is okay, then drums are okay. And then they will say, okay, xylophone is also okay. And then a piano is also okay. And then from that, guitar is also okay. So then people will be lost. So the main thing that we learn is look at the Quran, look at the Sunnah, and look at the companions. How did they interpret the text? What was their understanding? Look at the ways of the companions. Abdullah ibn Umar, when he heard the flute, he put the fingers in the ears. Right? So always go for the text. And then, inshallah, this confusion will become clear. Yes.
Don't pray like that. And then nobody told me why, like what's the reasoning behind it. Then later when I studied, I realized that, you know, the hump of the camel like a woman. I'm like, oh, that's probably what they were trying to tell me. But I never, like, for me, I'm like, why can I not tie my hair? If my hair is long, I don't want it coming out of my hijab. So it didn't make sense to me. Yeah. Because they were just narrating it from whoever they heard. Yes. And a lot of times that's how innovation comes into being. They'll be like, oh, read this 1,000 times and yeah, you'll get your dua answered. Or read this, whatever. They're not telling you what the Prophet has said in his hadith. They're
exactly
just saying somebody said this to them.
Exactly.
So now they're just following blindly.
Yeah, very true. Let's move on. Precept number 63, Imam Malik's admonition to the person who looks for the opinion of others in the presence of the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is that such person will fall into mischief or will be punished severely. So Imam Malik, when somebody was looking for an opinion other than that of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then he warned that such a person will fall into mischief, meaning fitna, confusion, or he will be punished severely. جاء رجل إلى مالك رحمه الله تعالى عن مسألتي فقال له قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كذا وكذا فقال الرجل أرأيت؟ قال مالك فليحذر الذين يخالفون عن أمره أن تصيبهم فتنة أو يصيبهم عذاب أليم. سورة النور آية 63. رواه في شرح السنة. A person approached Imam Malik and inquired about a particular matter. Imam Malik, he responded that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said such and such, meaning he quoted a hadith in order to explain that, in order to give the answer to the question. So the person asked him, but what is your opinion concerning this? You understand what's going on? Imam Malik, he was asked a question, he gave a hadith as the answer, but the man said, but what is your opinion? But what do you say? So in response, Imam Malik recited the verse that let those people beware who dissent from the Prophet's order, that lest fitna strike them or a painful punishment. That those who oppose the command of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, let such people have fear that some fitna will fall upon them from Allah, or that some painful punishment is going to strike them. In other words, who am I? Who am I to give my opinion when the saying of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam is there? Why do you ask me? Why are you asking me when the sunnah is present? So when they gave such little importance to their opinions when the sunnah was present, then who are we to say that, oh, their statement is the final statement, or Imam Malik said this, so it has to be true, or Imam Shafi'i said this, so it has to be true, or so-and-so scholar said it, so it has to be true? No, we haven't been told to follow particular individuals. We have been told to follow the Quran and sunnah. And yes, leaders will be followed, but when? But when they are in accordance to the Quran and Sunnah. And we see that the reason why these scholars were like this is because they did not just prefer the hadith, they had immense respect for the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. They had great respect for the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. We learned that once Ibn Mubarak, he came from Khurasan in order to study hadith from Imam Malik. Came all the way from Khurasan to Medina to study under Imam Malik. And once he was sitting in the class, and Imam Malik was narrating the hadith, and he saw the face of Imam Malik change, as if he was in a lot of pain. You know, when a person is in a lot of pain, then you can see them going pale or red or whatever. So he seemed to be in a lot of pain, and Ibn Mubarak was confused at what's happening. And he saw that there was a scorpion walking from under Imam Malik. So basically that scorpion had stung Imam Malik, and several times the scorpion stung him. But Imam Malik did not even stop narrating the hadith. And later on, Ibn Mubarak, he asked him that, how come you did not stop? Why didn't you stop when you were in so much pain? He said that, I was in the middle of the hadith. I was in the middle of the hadith and I did not wish to cut it. I did not want to cut it halfway through. I wanted to complete the hadith. So if this is the respect they had for the hadith, then obviously they would follow it as well. We can only imagine that they would follow the hadith. Precept number 64, some sayings of Imam al-Shafi'i about the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, "Ajma'a al-muslimuna 'ala amman istabana lahu sunnata 'an Rasulillahi sallallahu alaihi wasallam lam yahill lahu an yad'aha liqawli ahadin dhakarahu Ibn al-Qayyim wal-Fallani." That all the Muslims agree that whoever knows a sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then for him it is illegal to abandon the sunnah for the sake of a person saying. This is very important for us to remember, that all of the believers, all of the scholars have unanimously agreed that if a person comes to know about a sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then it is not allowed for him that he should leave the sunnah and go for the opinion of someone else, or go for the saying of another individual. So why is it not allowed for a Muslim that he should leave the sunnah and go for somebody else's opinion? Why not? There's confusion. What else? That this would lead to errors. This would lead to mistakes, right? The sunnah, the original teachings would be lost, and one mistake would lead to another. And if people hold on to that which could be wrong, then they're choosing something that is lesser in its value. And the thing is that what other people say, like we discussed earlier, it is based on people's intellect. Now, for example, I remember that when I was growing up, it was said that when you brush your teeth, then brush them up down. And then we were taught that no, brush sideways. And then we were taught that no, brush round and round. Now, the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ is using the miswak and cleaning the teeth thoroughly. Now, if you say that no, the best way is go up and down. And then you say, no, the best way is go sideways. No, the best way is go round and round. Now, what people say, what people decide, eventually what happens? It is refuted by some study, some scientific evidence, because people are constantly growing in their knowledge and discovery. But the sunnah, that is based on the wahi, right? That is based on revelation. So, we can be confident when following the sunnah that this is the best way. This is always right. This can never be wrong. So this is why it's not allowed for a person that he should leave the sunnah for the statement of somebody else. Others can be wrong, they can be refuted, but the sunnah can never be wrong. It cannot be refuted. إِذَا رَأَيْتُمُونِي أَقُولُ قَوْلًا وَقَدْ صَحَّ عَنِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ خَالَفَهُ فَاعْلَمُوا أَنَّ عَقْلِي قَدْ ذَهَبَ ذَكَرَهُ إِبْنُ أَبِي حَاتِمٍ وَإِبْنُ عَسَاكِرٍ. Imam al-Shafi'i, he said that when you hear me talking against the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then consider that my aql did not work correctly, that I lost my mind at that point. Imam al-Shafi'i said this, that if you see that my statement contradicts the sunnah, then know that I am at fault, not the sunnah. Then know that I am wrong, not the sunnah. Imam al-Shafi'i, he's saying that think that my aql was not working correctly, put the blame on me, not the sunnah. I was wrong, not the sunnah. The sunnah can never be wrong. And in this, there is no humiliation. Because a person might say, oh, but isn't this insulting the scholars? That we're supposed to respect them, and you know, we have so much respect for a particular scholar. How could we ever say that they were wrong? How could we ever say that they made a mistake? No, they could never be wrong. No, this is not disrespect. This is not disrespect at all. This is, in fact, accepting the truth, holding on to the truth. Successful are those who accept the truth when it is given to them. Those who accept the truth when it is given to them. Not those who are arrogant. Arrogance is what? Batarul haq. Batarul haq. This is kibr. And what is humility? To accept the truth. What is the right way? To accept the truth. عن الشافعية رحمه الله تعالى أنه كان يقول إذا صح الحديث فهو مذهبي وفي رواية إذا رأيتم كلامي يخالف الحديث فاعملوا بالحديث واضربوا بكلامي الحائط ذكره في عقد الجيد. Imam al-Shafi'i stated that when you find an authentic hadith, then that is my religion. Then that is my religion, meaning that is my madhab, that is what I will follow, that is what I will hold on to. And then he further stated that if you find any saying of mine against the sunnah, then act upon the sunnah and throw away my saying on the wall, meaning cast it away. Get rid of it. Don't give any importance to it. Now again, why would their saying contradict the sunnah? Because they do not have complete knowledge. They were prone to making mistakes. And sometimes it happens that you know something. Something is so obvious to you, yet you make a mistake. Isn't it so? Like with some people, what happens is that when they reach a particular age, they lose track of how old they are. Does it happen? Ask people who don't want to acknowledge how old they are. Right? And if somebody asks them, how old are you? 33, right? They get a little unsure. Likewise, if people have, you know, they have their first child, then they remember, oh, my child was born on this day, on this date, right? They know all the details at this time, and they have child number 2, and child number 3, and child number 4, and then sometimes they're filling out the forms, and they're like, was he born on the 13th or the 23rd? Right? Was he born in the year 2005 or 2008? It happens. And if you say to someone you don't remember their birthday, it's as though you've committed a sin. So it happens, right? It happens to many people. They can't remember these details. They know them. They have to think in order to remember them. So some things you know them really well, but yet because you're a human being, there's too much information that you have to keep track of, you forget. So likewise, we will give the benefit of the doubt to the scholars when we find out that their statement contradicted the Quran and the Sunnah. If ever it did, we will give them the benefit of the doubt, but we will not blindly follow it. Because they told us to follow the Quran and Sunnah. Precept number 65, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal considered the foregoing of the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam for the sake of a saying of any other person as an act of leading to destruction. So Imam Ahmad, what did he say? That if a person leaves a Sunnah, holds on to something else, then he is going to be destroyed. قال الإمام أحمد رحمه الله تعالى من رد حديث رسول الله فهو على شفا هلكة ذكره ابن الجوزي. Imam Ahmad stated that whoever rejects the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then he is standing on the brink of destruction. He is standing at the edge of a cliff and he can fall any moment. He is prone to destruction. That he is going to go astray then. Because what is he doing? He is disrespecting the Sunnah. He is leaving that which is correct and authentic, and he is opting for that which is not true. So definitely such a person will go astray. وقال رأي الأوزاعي ورأي مالك ورأي أبي حنيفة كله رأي. Highlight this. كله رأي وهو عندي سواء وإنما الحجة في الآثار ذكره ابن عبد البر في الجامع. Imam Ahmad stated that the opinions of Imam Awza'i, of Imam Malik, of Imam Abu Hanifa, are all opinions. What are they in reality? They're opinions. And to me, they all are the same. Meaning, I give the same importance to all of them. None is better than another in my eyes. Indeed, Al-Athar is the only unquestionable authority. And what are Al-Athar? It includes the Hadith and the statements of the companions. So the real Hujjah, the real evidence, the real authority is with what? The athar, not the opinions of the scholars, because they were only opinions. Precept number 66, all the respectful imams considered obedience of the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a safeguard against going astray. Meaning all of the scholars believed that if a person follows a sunnah, then he will be rightly guided. And when he leaves a sunnah, then he will go astray. قال شريح رحمه الله تعالى إن السنة قد سبقت قياسكم فاتبع ولا تبتدع فإنك لن تضل ما أخذت بالأثر ذكره في شرح السنة. Imam Shuraih stated that the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam overpowers your opinions, meaning the sunnah will be given preference over the opinions of other people. Therefore, follow the sunnah and do not adopt innovations. Do not adopt innovations, because the opposite of the sunnah is what? Innovation. As long as you are steadfast in following the sunnah, you will never go astray. And when you will leave the sunnah, then you will go astray. Then you won't be rightly guided. So all of the scholars, this is what they had said. Now, what is the definition of ظلم? It is وَضْعُ الشَّيْءِ فِي غَيْرِ مَحَلِّهِ, to place something where it does not belong. So the order is the Quran, the sunnah, the statements of the companions, and then the... Then who? Then the imams, correct? Now, if a person puts the statements of the companions, or the statements of the companions where the Quran should be, then what is that? Zulm. Likewise, if a person puts the statements of the scholars where the sunnah should be, what is that? Zulm. And zulm is something that Allah does not like. Allah does not like zulm at all. So likewise, in the matter of following the religion even, we cannot do zulm. What is hikmah? Wisdom. What is the definition of hikmah? To place something where it belongs in the manner that is appropriate. So, true hikmah is what then? That you keep the Qur'an, you give it the respect, the status, the importance that it deserves. And likewise, the statement of the scholars, you give it the importance, the respect that it deserves. But it is under the Qur'an, Sunnah, and the statements of the companions. What's the other definition of ghulb? Naqs, to fall short in giving due rights. So, what is the right of the Sunnah? That it has to be followed. Now, if a person does not follow that, and instead takes opinions of other scholars, then is that dhulm or not? It would be dhulm. It would most definitely be dhulm. Now, if the scholars stayed away from committing this dhulm themselves, then who are we to commit this dhulm? So it's very important that we understand, how is it that this fiqh, or these different madhahib, they developed? How is it that they developed? Let me tell you a brief history. Imam Malik, where was he from? From Medina. He was the student of who? Imam Nafir, who was a student of Abdullah ibn Umar, right? Who was a companion. So, in other words, he came very soon after the Prophet ﷺ. On the other hand, Imam Abu Hanifa was also, he came not too long after the companions. Imam al-Shafi'i, he learned from Imam Malik first. He was a student of Imam Malik. And he then went and he studied from the students of Imam Abu Hanifa, alright? Imam Ahmad, he was a student of Imam al-Shafi'i. So you see how Imam Ahmad was a student of Imam al-Shafi'i. Imam al-Shafi'i learned the madhab of both Abu Hanifa as well as Imam Malik. They were students of one another. So could you ever say then that, oh, you have to abandon the opinion of Imam Abu Hanifa because I follow Imam Malik? No. They were students of one another. Why? Because they were seeking knowledge. They were seeking the deen. And they did not have these biases. It was much later, almost in the 1200s, that a time came when the people said that, oh, there are no more new matters of religion, so there's no need for scholars to bring solutions to new matters. Therefore, limit yourself, confine yourself to the understanding of Imam Malik, Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam al-Shafi'i, Imam Ahmad. They said, confine yourself to their understanding, because there is no more room for ijtihad. Ijtihad is, you know, the effort of the scholar in order to find a solution to a matter. So there's no more need for ijtihad because all the possible questions, all the possible problems that could have ever arose, you know, the scholars have given solutions to them. But can you say that all the questions have been answered? No. There are so many matters today for which, what do you need? Ijtihad, you need the scholars to sit together to look at the Quran and Sunnah and to give answers, right? Because there are some new matters that were not a cause of concern before. You know, for example, many scholars, they say that when a woman is menstruating, she cannot touch the Qur'an. Or a person cannot touch the Qur'an without wudu. Now, if a person does not have wudu, can they touch the Qur'an on their iPhone? Or you say, the Qur'an is on my phone, can I put the phone on the floor? A person might argue, no, the Qur'an is in there. But you can say, no, I closed the app. So what do you need then? The scholars should sit together, think about these matters, right? And tell us what is correct and what is not. Because such matters keep coming. Imam Malik, he wrote a book, Al-Muwatta. And the leaders, the political leaders of that time, they really liked that book. And they wanted to make that the official book of the entire Islamic world. That people just study this and they follow this and no other book. This is what they wanted to do. And Imam Malik was asked twice, but he refused that, no, I do not allow this. Because the Sahaba, they went all over the Muslim world, they taught, and there are many things that are not in this book. I could have made mistakes, right? So don't make my book the official book. The only official book is what? The Quran. And after that we look at the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Imam Abu Hanifa, he would not allow his students to write down his opinions, because he would say, today I'm saying this, tomorrow I could have another opinion, and the day after I could have another opinion, based on the knowledge that I'm learning every single day. And this was their humility, their recognition of themselves, their realization that we are human beings and we have faults, we make mistakes. So they did not allow their students to follow them blindly. Then who are we to follow them blindly? We have to follow the Quran and the Sunnah. That is our guide. And our Imam is who? The Imam of all the Imams, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So if somebody ever asks you, so which Imam do you follow? What is your madhab? You say, I follow the Imam of all the Imams. And who's that? Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they say, but come on, like which madhab? Which fiqh? You say the fiqh of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The madhab of the Sahaba. That is what we follow. And that is what we should follow. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته